Destiny Rescue. You've probably heard about it if you've seen that movie, The Sound of Freedom, with Jim Caviezel. You might even seen articles about Destiny Rescue. They're a real company, and they do rescue children. Paul is the man behind the, well, I wouldn't say the man behind it. You're the man who's the public face of Destiny Rescue. Welcome, Paul.
Morning, Paul.
Thanks so much for having us.
Paul, for those who are unfamiliar with Destiny Rescue, tell us what it is that you do.
Yeah, we're an Australian founded actually on the Sunshine Coast in 2001. We exist to rescue children from child sexual exploitation and human trafficking and keep them free. As an organisation, we've now rescued 13,339 people since we started, and on average rescuing 16 people every day in 12 countries across the world.
And how do you become aware of those people who require rescuing?
Yeah, we have a team of what we call our rescue agents, and they, you know, range from men and women in different countries around the world that will go into some of the darkest places on the face of the planet. So that might meaning going into some of the bars or the massage parlors or the, you know, places where we get tip-offs that kids might be trafficked into. We work undercover, we build cases, we work with local law enforcement to provide them tip-offs, and then work with the police to execute raids on establishments to get those kids to freedom. And the traffickers arrested, the, you know, the pimps and the mama's arms arrested. And then we work on getting those kids on what we call a pathway to freedom so that they can deal with the trauma that they've been through and get them into that place of, you know, getting on with their life and, you know, overcoming the obstacles that they've had put in front of them.
Can I ask you, Paul, years ago I remember, and it's not such a thing now, but remember we used to have missing children on the side of milk containers and that. I remember that even as a kid. And that sort of has gone off the radar these days, I suppose, with the internet and social media. But a lot of missing kids in this country or most countries, is that the majority of what happens to them? They're not just wandering off. Some of them do get kidnapped and taken elsewhere.
Yeah, look, and that's probably one of the things even with the movie Sound of Freedom, it kind of portrays kids just being kidnapped off the side of this road. And that, it does happen, but it doesn't happen as much. Most kids that are trafficked or sold and exploited are groomed. There's often someone close to them or someone that comes into the community and you know, in a sense, might set up a job. It looks like they're getting a job. Might look like they're getting a job in a restaurant, or they might be getting a job in a beauty parlor or something like that.
Well, actually, there was a case the other day of some girl going for a babysitting nanny job somewhere in the Australian outback, and she was tied up and captured in this cabin out in the outback somewhere. Did you hear that story?
Yeah. No, I haven't heard of that story, but that tends to be, you know, to be honest, what tends to happen more commonly. People might apply for a job or they might be tricked, coerced. We deal with a lot of, last year we had 920 rescues on the Nepal border, and a lot of those girls that we rescue on the Nepal border have fallen in love with someone on Facebook Instagram. They've been groomed over a period of months on chat platforms, and they're told, oh, if you cross the border, we've fallen in love, I'll marry you, I'll get you a job, I'll do all this, and it's all, you know, it's catfishing and it's deception and coercion to get, you know, people into situations.
Paul, are these children from impoverished homes and areas, or are these children whose parents are willingly looking for them?
Look, a lot of the children that we would rescue are coming from poor communities. We work, like in the 12 countries that we work in, they're all countries that are relatively undeveloped, although, you know, we do work a lot in countries like the Philippines and Thailand, which, you know, have come a long way over the last couple of decades. I mean, I met a 15-year-old boy a couple of months ago in Thailand, and one day he went with one of his mates to the local internet cafe to play video games. So they'd been at school, they came home from school, and like my kids do, they, you know, wanted to go down to the place to hang out where they hung out, and they went to an internet cafe and a guy came in and coerced them, tricked them. They were kidnapped from that place. And then, you know, the parents for the next 3 months were hoping and praying and waiting and trying to work out what they can do to find their kids. And that's what we find a lot of the time. The parents are there looking for their kid. They're wondering where their kid's gone. They've got no idea. And then, you know, we might hear from the parents, or we might just be in some of those places where we're getting tip-offs that kids are being trafficked into, and then, you know, working with the police to find them and get them out of there.
Did you get them both back?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and then I met him when he was in one of our aftercare facilities. You know, we were helping him work through the trauma of 3 months of abuse and, you know, getting him back into schooling and getting him, you know, the resilience training and whatnot to deal with the challenges that he'd been through.
Yeah, the movie Sound of Freedom with Jim Caviezel, you know, talks about a dad who gives everything up to go and rescue these kids, especially in a South American country or a South American area. I can't remember exactly where, but this is a big situation that happens overseas. What about in Australia? Do we find Australian kids going down this route at all, or is it just a situation that's only in, as Jade said, the impoverished countries?
No, look, it definitely happens here in Australia. The big difference is, you know, Sound of Freedom talks a little bit about kids being trafficked into the US. And, you know, the big difference between Australia and the US, I guess, is that we have a big moat around our country. And so whereas the US have a border that's relatively open,
yeah,
and people get
right.
trafficked in from countries to the south of them. In Australia, though, what we tend to find is kids that are exploited, I guess, in Australia, are often kids in out-of-home care, so they've maybe slipped through the cracks. They're couch surfing. I was, you know, talking with a colleague recently from another organisation that, you know, is talking about kids that are couch surfing and young girls that are saying, you know, they're having guys say to them, well, you can come and stay at my house, but it's in, and you can stay rent-free, but it's in exchange for sex. And so it definitely happens in Australia. It is different to what happens overseas. What troubles me, though, about Australians, and, you know, a UN special reporter a number of years ago did a study in Thailand over a 10-year period, and Australians were 31% of all arrests for sex crimes in Thailand.
God.
We were the largest nationality represented in Thailand for people being arrested for sex crimes. And so it's Australians, a lot of the time, that are online. It starts online on websites where they start exploiting kids, and then Australians are a huge problem globally, particularly in Southeast Asia, where we travel overseas. And I see it when I go in undercover into some of the rescue operations that we do. I'm seeing Aussie men and women sometimes in these bars exploiting kids, and it's an illegal activity. You can be arrested.
Yeah.
And even this year, we've been cooperating with different police agencies overseas and in Australia to help arrest Australians that have been exploiting kids overseas.
It's such a shame as an Aussie that, you know, we're one of the largest offenders. That just, I can't understand that, Paul.
Paul, I know this is a really personal question, but in just perusing the website destinyrescue.org.au, the facts and the figures, $99 billion is generated by sex traffickers each year. It's $11 million every hour. But with that $99 billion, I think of every little face, every little boy and girl that is affected by that. And I'm wondering how you, as somebody, as part of this rescue organisation, how are you able to put that aside and live a normal life? Because I find it really overwhelming.
Yeah. And look, I get asked that question a lot, and I think it's I look at it that I've been in this sort of space for 20-odd years now.
Mm-hmm.
I spend most of my time thinking about the hope and freedom that we get to give kids. And I guess it's a little bit like if you're a paramedic, if you're a social worker, if you're a surgeon, you've got to build that mental resilience so you're not dwelling on the trauma that I guess is around you. Now, we have, you know, processes in place to help us, you know, deal with some of the things you come across, because you do come across some pretty tragic things over time. But I spend my time thinking about the freedom that we get to give kids. There is nothing more satisfying than knowing that you've been the one that's opened a door of freedom to a child.
And you'll change the lives of people you never meet, hey?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm always inspired by the donors that I talk to, by our supporters in Australia that are going, you know what, we want to be part of the solution. And for me, that's probably the thing that motivates me the most. That's where I spend my time thinking. I know that we are about unlocking freedom, and we get to invite people to help us unlock freedom for kids. And that is the most inspiring thing, I think, that, you know, you can almost do in life. So It's about, I guess you learn over time to focus on the positive stuff that you get to do rather than...
the tragedy of it.
Than the tragedy of it, yeah. Cause,
How do people get involved, Paul? Because obviously people want to help. We see this. We know there's little people associated with this and we want to help them. How do we help Destiny Rescue to help kids?
Yeah, look, as simple as it seems, what we really require is funds to help us rescue. We are rescuing on average 16 kids every day. We could actually double that number overnight if we had the funding to do it. On average, it costs us $1,800 to rescue a child. And what we are about doing is trying to raise awareness in Australia to say to people, sign up to be a rescue partner. You can choose however much you want to give. You can give as much or as little as you want. But our army of rescue partners that donate every single month enable us as an organisation to have rescue agents that go out across 12 countries to rescue kids and then get them on that pathway to freedom. And so people can go to our website, destinyrescue.org.au. There's a heap of information on the website. And get yourself educated. Get yourself informed about the issue. Tell other people about it as well, because together we can actually make a huge dent in this trade.
Paul Murgard, thank you very much, Destiny Rescue. And look, if you haven't seen that movie Sound of Freedom yet, it might have sort of appeared at cinemas very quickly, but a streaming service will soon have it, and we'll let you know when that does occur.